Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I've lived in that neighborhood for 28 years, and we've had four fires, two of which blocked the beginning of the neighborhood, and then we've had fires that just a little further down. The only way in is Motley, the only way out. Ivan blocked us, hurricanes block us out, we know that. But as a retired chief, I'm standing before you again, that the public safety of the people that are in that community, we are at saturation in that community, and please take that into account because we can't get out.
This is a woman named Marsha Maple. She said a retired Navy chief, and she's talking about a development request for zoning change in Motley Court, which, if you don't know the location, I understand. That's kind of why I'm going to explain it to you. But right off of 10 Mile Road, just east of Chemstrand, where Pate Street is that angular road that goes up to the UWF property, there's this giant subdivision. I mean, I don't even know. It's got to be, just eyeballing it, maybe 200 homes back in there that all pour out on a 10-mile road via Motley Court. Motley Court is the one way in and out. And right at the very front of all of this, right on the 10-mile road, there's the church. And right behind the Calvary Chapel Church, they've got this parcel of land that they would like to rezone in order to develop it with, I think the number is like 40 different townhomes to put in there. And, you know, so they came and went to the planning board, and the planning board said yes. And then it came to the county commission, and the residents freaked out about this because they're like, we can't handle any more traffic on that road. If that road gets blocked, we are all in trouble. And if there's more traffic and, you know, whatever, that's going to be an issue for us. And when they came, Stephen Berry, it's his district, he basically sided with them and said, I know that area well. This is not a good plan. We're going to deny this. Well, the petitioners sued. And Judge Fredrichovich, Jennifer Fredrichovich, a very, very good local judge, she said, you didn't follow your own rules. This was inappropriate, and you need to reconsider. And so she quashed the ruling by the Board of County Commissioners and went back to them and said, you need to do this over because Stephen Berry's basis for making the decision violated the company's due process rights because the board's function is quasi-judicial. Okay, and he didn't have any evidence to support his view of opposing this other than his opinion, didn't rely on the criteria of the county's land development code for determining if a rezoning request should be granted. Okay, so that's kind of the history of this, and then this has come back for the hearing at the Board of County Commissioners, and these residents are there to protest what they want to not happen, which is an even larger development at the very front end of their subdivision area. Now, I'll tell you this, I kind of agreed with Stephen Berry at the time. Putting more homes in there, putting multifamily in there. Now, it is at the front of the subdivision. It's not at the back, so the traffic impact is a little bit less. But still, I kind of agreed with this. Okay, I thought that it was kind of the right decision. But, you know, the judge gets it right. They didn't follow their own procedures. And it's one of these weird things where following the procedures gets maybe not the best result. But still, you know, I think he was kind of trying sort of to do the right thing here. The problem is that now they're basically being forced to do what it seems to me to be the wrong thing. James Pace.
The last thing we need is another artery feeding traffic into Motley Court. And there's a requirement to have more buses to pick up the children. I mean, there is no sense in having 40 more homes with people that just cannot be accommodated as long as there's one way in, one way out on Motley Court.
Like, it's already hard to get in and out at the intersection. This will make it even harder. Stephanie Sansom.
It's good as is. Our kids ride bikes on the streets in the cul-de-sacs. We have a really good neighborhood, and we have really good people living there, and we all care about it. So I just think this is a bad idea with all of the impacts.
So you have another example. We talked earlier at 5 o'clock. You can find it on the podcast page if you want to listen to it, about the JoJo Finley development, because they, again, these folks are just – the JoJo Finley folks are just waiting to find out if the county's going to ruin their quality of life or allow a developer to, from their perspective, ruin their quality of life in their little subdivision. And here we have another case where these residents are like, what are you doing? You know, what are you allowing? Well, in this case, the county was actually trying to stop it. But their own policies, having to hold to those policies, are being sort of used to force them to accept something they'd prefer not to. Lisa Minshew is the attorney for the owners of the property of the Calvary Church, and basically recapping that the court found them to be in error and that they have to do the right thing now, and that at the planning board, they did what was right. They didn't have anybody testify against this as experts, and that's what the staff has to, you know, consider, and that's what the county commission has to consider.
At the planning board in this case, none of these neighbors testified as experts. And your land development code requires expert testimony over opinion. The only experts that testified at the planning board, Mr. Horace Jones right here, and all of your planning staff. So they all testified that this project, this rezoning, met every standard.
So she's making the case, and based on the legal outcome, you know, she seems to have the right of it, that nothing was ever done improperly by these folks asking for the change in zoning, and you just kind of did it on your own initiative without expert testimony, and if you had done it properly, or you could even change the rules maybe, but you didn't, and you have to follow them now, and so there's no evidence to deny this, so could you just please obey the law, you know? Would you just approve it?
We don't think that anything else needs to be done except that we need to have a vote so that we can move forward.
And so you might think at this point, well, they've got to approve it because the judge has said so and the attorneys made the compelling case even against the objections of the residents, all of whom are opposed to this for what seemed to me to be, you know, pretty good reasons. What did they do? We'll come back to that in a second. We've got John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. If you're traveling on Palafox at Tejar, you're going to experience some delays there. It's just minor delays, but I just wanted to let you know about it. Highway 90 from Pace into Pensacola, going southbound, you're going to see some delays through that construction there also. Everything else is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. So what did the county commission do when these residents came to protest another example of a development, you know, like a zoning change that would lead to a development that they believe would adversely affect their quality of life? And the commissioners, you know, I think Stephen Barry, like I said, is kind of trying to do what is good for the residents, but finds himself either unable to do it or doesn't understand the rules enough to find a way to do it, or isn't willing to create the rules so that you don't run into this kind of problem over and over again. He says,
I've reviewed the, you know, record that came from the planning board regarding this case. There's limited testimony that really provides any analysis of the criterion C, which is going to be the compatibility with the surrounding area. I would move that the rezoning case Z-2023-03 be sent back to the planning board with specific instructions that they consider additional facts, including but not limited to expert witness testimony regarding the compatibility of the requested zoning category with the surrounding areas. And that would be my motion for the board's action today.
So then the question of, well, you're the chairman, can you even make the motion? Jeff Bergosh raises the question. Allison Rogers says it's better if Jeff does it, so Jeff just does it on his behalf. And then Lisa Minshew, again, the attorney representing the plaintiffs in this case, the one to upzone, want to develop the property behind the church to a higher density.
For the record, I'd like to set on the record a motion to recuse Mr. Barry based on his actions at the last hearing that were cited specifically by the court, showing his own personal opinion swayed the board and swayed his own opinion, and that he should recuse himself from this decision today.
Noted, and I see that you have a court reporter present, so it will be part of the record.
So she thinks he's, you know, and he's inserted himself into this process inappropriately, which is what the judge basically said, and therefore he should not be voting on this matter anymore because he's outside. Now, I don't know on a four-person board if that would have meant that it failed on a 2-1 vote, but I'm actually trying to remember now. I think maybe even the Lumen May wasn't there, so it would have been a 1-1 vote, I think, if I remember correctly, so it would have failed. But he decided to go ahead and vote, and after the vote, you know, that's going to go back to the planning board, so it's going to be reheard with the consideration of, you know, whether it's compatible with the other houses. I just, my general sense of all of this, and I know there's a lot of sort of complicated rules around this, is that that's part of the problem. We talked about this with the JoJo Finley folks. Remember, they're the little circular drive that's going to get a big old subdivision dumped in behind them. It's going to access their road through the undeveloped lots on their property, which is kind of a nightmare to consider. And they just feel like they have no power. They feel like the system is so biased in favor of the developers that they have all the power, they have all the leverage. They, even when the rules are there, the rules aren't followed properly, or the ability to fight through the rules to stop something that's going to harm your quality of life, you don't have that ability. And I feel that for a lot of people in both counties, but particularly in Escambia County, where they feel like the commission has not made this easy. They have not done their job of planning. They have not done their job of thinking ahead about what's going to happen and making the rules work for everybody, the new residents, the builders, and the existing residents. And so again and again and again, people kind of wind up suffering, having their neighborhood quality of life damaged, or having their roads overburdened, or their schools overburdened, or their, you know, stormwater problems, because development just hasn't been managed well. And if you think that's a problem in Escambia County, then it's a question of, well, you know, who to blame? Do we say that there was nothing to be done about it and this is just life in an expanding area? That's one takeaway. Do you say that the county commissioners just didn't do their job for a long period of time? You know, Lumen May and Stephen Berry are coming up on their, they're in their 12th year. They're asking for up to 16 years by reelection. Jeff Bergosh has had 80s asking for 12. After all this time, it's hard to blame anybody else for the failures, right? You know, somebody who'd been in office less time could blame prior boards. Like in Santa Rosa County, they're all relatively fresh commissioners, so they could blame prior boards. Escambia can't really blame prior boards because they've all been there for quite some time. Do they not know what the problems are? Were they unwilling to fix or plan for the problems? Were they persuaded by the builders to ignore the problems and just let building go at a tremendous pace that it's been? I mean, these are all questions you as a voter have to decide. But it seems like the basic problem, and we see this play out again and again. It's playing out in Motley Court. It's playing out in JoJo Finley. It's playing out in, it just seems like over and over and over you see this happen, where the county just isn't well structured or suited or governed to manage the growth that we're experiencing. Whether by failure or bad decision, you know, action or inaction, I don't know that it really matters, but it seems like people who want to build new things just come and do what they want to do, and then the commissioners either act surprised or offended or, you know, well, we didn't know all those apartments were going in. Well, it's your job to think about that kind of stuff. You know, you should have known, even if they're within their rights. Why didn't you make a system that worked better to make sure that everybody's rights were considered? And so the residents feel like the newcomers and or the builders are ruining their quality of life in a way that, like, you never know where it's going to happen. You know, we're just all on kind of edge, hoping it doesn't happen to me. And then when we think it is going to happen, then we have to go through this process of years and years and meetings and finding out if it's going to happen now when we don't have a commissioner in place because the District 4 is vacant. And again, I just want to make sure to say it this way. I think the builders are an important part of the community. The people who work for the builders are an important part of the community. The newcomers are an important part of the community. I was a newcomer 10 years ago. I don't think blaming the new people is the answer. But I do think that there has been a general failure at the governmental level to really think about and plan for and solve these problems and to balance the interests of the building community and the new people with the interests of the existing community and the existing infrastructure and the cost of all of this development. And so it looks to me like a sort of global failure of the Board of County Commissioners to just do this well. It gets done well in other places, and growth is not always easy. But it doesn't have to be this hard. 724 on News Radio Pensacola, I'm Andrew McKay.
Discouraged, defeated, disappointed, you're listening to Strength for Life.
Hey, this is Pastor James Johnson with Strength for Life. I want you to know that there are resources available on our website that are specifically designed to strengthen you in your walk with God. Maybe you're feeling weak in your prayer life because of unanswered prayer. I wrote a little booklet entitled When God Says No, which will strengthen you in how to deal with those times in your life when it seems that God is silent. Maybe you're struggling because someone you love is away from the Lord. They're wayward and your heart is broken. On our website, you'll find a booklet entitled Ministry to the Wayward. and it will strengthen you in knowing exactly how to help that person who is in a prodigal situation. You can find these strengthening resources and much more at our website, which is www.strengthforlife.church. Check it out today.
Season, and when a storm threatens our region, News Radio Pensacola has complete around-the-clock coverage you can count on. Our award-winning news team will be tracking the storm's every move, providing regular updates on the storm's path, intensity, and potential impacts. You can listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
This hurricane information is brought to you by DeFranco Gas. Get your home or business storm ready. Install or maintain your generator with DeFranco Gas. DeFranco Gas does all things gas.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, I believe in God. And the only thing that scares me is Kaiser Soze.
Got a bunch of texts in here talking about that Motley Court and the issue of overdevelopment or poorly planned development in Escambia County. We'll come back to these texts in just a second. John Pickens has got our traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Seeing some backups right now on 9th Avenue and Bayou Boulevard. If you're traveling eastbound on Bayou, just be prepared. There's a long line right there. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. A couple of these texts, 437-1620. My son's math tutor lives in Motley Court. This is right off of 10 Mile, by the way. And I hate taking him there every time. Somebody says there's so much money in land development, the commissioner strongly leaned towards letting property rights rule for the fear of getting sued. Every commissioner has some type of interest in land development and or construction. I would say particularly Jeff Bergosh, Lumen May, and Stephen Barry. I'm not sure about Mike Kohler, whether that's applicable to him. He's just brand new in office anyway, just for the last 2 years. Somebody says, I've lived in the Motley Court neighborhood since 2014. I have a child that plays in our streets, and I live close to the front of that neighborhood. More traffic, more vehicles, more people is a danger to our neighborhood. To which I said, I hear you. I think the problem is you do not have the power to protect your area's way of life, which is a problem. Somebody says, you're correct. Growth is not easy, but it is inevitable. Somebody else says, the commissioners don't worry about the people. It's the business that give them the money to put, 100 plus 4x8 color board signs, elect me. Yes, they do not look ahead. They do not plan for what might be coming. Let's see, 437-1620. The Escambia County Board is so bad, it is forcing the residents of Perdido area to form a new city to protect our rights and interests in the area. I mean, they didn't yet, but they probably will come back with it, right? We put enough boats for storage facilities to gag a horse, yet they keep allowing more and more buildings to be torn down. They put a 600-unit apartment building up without any improvements to the local infrastructure. This board is totally inept, and it needs to be cleaned out. Somebody else says, someone strong-armed the environmental person to reverse her denial of the plan due to impact on the bay. Oh, this is a different project, but... many county employees sharing that concern with us. I don't know anything about that. 437-1620. I think that's all the text. Just wanted to give you your say. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Elon Musk says Tesla shareholders have approved his $56 billion pay package. He put that on social media last night, though the results of the shareholders' vote won't be announced until later this afternoon. The Biden administration is being sued by the ACLU over its new asylum processing rules. President Biden signed an executive order last week that would temporarily limit the number of people who can seek asylum. The ACLU, filing a lawsuit on behalf of two immigration advocacy groups. There's a new study out, Andrew, that suggests that 9/11 first responders may have a bigger risk of developing early onset dementia before the age of 65. The study coming out from New York's Stony Brook University, they say the long-term exposure to inhaled air pollutants, including particulate matter, has been identified as a risk factor for the earlier onset of dementia.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:30 here on News Radio Pensacola. Coming up in just a minute, we're going to talk to Mike Wood. He is Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Yeah, I find this case in Motley, it's very difficult, and there's a lot of, like I said, obscure elements to the rules of how development happens. I just think that the general takeaway is people feel like everything is threatened, and they've had such bad experiences of what seem like incompatible developments come in and rip away what they expected for their quality of life that they're frustrated and angry, and they want somebody to blame for it.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The commander-in-chief at the G7 summit in Italy later today, the president sits down with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky to sign a security agreement and then hold a news conference.
This Biden-Zelensky press conference will be rare, and it will be short. It's entirely possible that Hunter Biden conviction issues don't even come up. The White House has not yet confirmed to us what the format is going to be. And here's why the Hunter stuff may not come up abroad. White House officials would much rather talk about ceasefire talks in Gaza.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House. An enormous amount of water falling from the skies across the southern part of Florida.
Well, close to 20 inches over the last 3 days between Fort Lauderdale and Miami, and we've got more rain in the forecast.
Fox senior meteorologist Janice Dean. Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis declares a state of emergency. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. Starting to warm up a bit now, 74 degrees, partly cloudy skies. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says they've closed two more drug houses. In a video on Facebook, Sheriff Chip Simmons announced that the drug houses were raided on Teakwood Circle and 50th Avenue.
Chief, this is about 3 kilos of fentanyl, and this is over 5 kilos of methamphetamines. Fentanyl alone, as you know, very deadly, and this is enough fentanyl to potentially kill hundreds of thousands of people.
Simmons also showed off about $60,000 worth of cash, jewelry, shoes, and sports memorabilia he says the suspects bought with drug money. Simmons identified LaMarcus Brown as a suspect. He's charged with trafficking fentanyl and meth. Milton Mayor Heather Lindsay has been busy sifting through documents in preparation for a hearing today tied to a public records lawsuit filed against her by the city attorney, Alex Andrade.
You decided to sue me, and I'm allowed to speak. It is my First Amendment right. If I could afford a lawyer, my lawyer might advise me not to speak, but I was fired from my full-time employment. So I do not have a lawyer.
That exchange on Tuesday after Councilwoman Roxanne Mice called a point of order a few times in an effort to keep Lindsay from talking about the lawsuit. Lindsay referenced her former job as the assistant city attorney for the city of Pensacola, indicating her resignation was forced. Tuesday night was Lindsay's first council meeting in several months. She says that was due to doctor's orders. Well, a big donation made to the American Cancer Society by Tate High School and the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer campaign.
Tonight, we are donating over $25,000 back to the American Cancer Society in any way that they choose to use it.
Tate softball coach Melinda Wyatt there. That's following their 14th annual strikeout cancer game to date. They say they've raised over $200,000. To fight breast cancer. Governor Ron DeSantis says Florida will successfully appeal a Tallahassee federal judge's ruling that blocks a law banning gender-affirming care for minors and restricting treatments for adults.
They upheld Alabama's law, which was almost identical to Florida's law. This will be reversed. There's no question it'll be reversed.
And DeSantis says spending tax money on defending the law is justified because otherwise it would allow judges to veto Florida law. The weather disrupting plans today to tear down the scene of a deadly school shooting. The Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School 1200 building in Parkland was supposed to be demolished today. That's on hold, though, due to heavy rainfall there.
My son does not want the building to come down. He feels that
people will forget about the tragedy. My wife said she's grown a little bit attached to the building.
Tony Montalto lost his 14-year-old daughter in that school shooting. And again, that's been rescheduled for tomorrow. It is 7:34, News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Give them a call today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly right now. If you're traveling on 9 Mile at University, seeing some traffic going westbound trying to get into UWM, so just plan for that. Other than that, the roads are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies. Just a small chance of an afternoon shower, mostly sunny with a high near 94. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 95 degrees. Just a small chance of a stray sprinkle. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 76. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we have 74 degrees in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, and 70 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. National Amusements has halted merger discussions between Paramount Global and Skydance. Paramount is now under the direction of the Office of the CEO, made up of three leaders who replaced Bob Bakish when he stepped down in April. Paramount is, like many, struggling with how to make streaming a profitable business as it faces peak competition, a rapidly shrinking universe of cable TV customers, and a slowdown in the advertising market. Artisan Partners, one of Southwest's biggest shareholders, said the airline's board has agreed with many of the activist Elliott management's demands at the airline. Elliott is seeking to oust CEO Bob Jordan and executive chairman Gary Kelly, something that Artisan also signaled support for. The public letter from Artisan comes 2 days after Elliott first revealed it had a $1.9 billion economic interest in the airline. Futures are mixed. The S&P 500 in record territory. That's Your Money Now.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Join Jim Ireland from Forrest Jordan and Associates, the Generator Guys, today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tim will be sharing his expertise on home generators and what's involved in getting one for your home. Information on why you would need one, system costs, and what a home generator can do for your home, and answer questions on how they work.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 7:38 News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Joins us this time on a Thursday. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was talking to you a little bit about this off the air, but I had a chance to go through the Escambia County Sheriff's Office training shooter training facility yesterday, and we're going to do a lot of talking about this at the 6:35 segment over many days. But I will tell you my one big takeaway was your job is I knew how hard your job was way more than most civilians. I'm just telling you, your job is super hard, and I even more appreciate what cops have to do.
Well, we appreciate that, and we also wish that everybody could go through that sort of training, or shoot and don't shoot type scenarios, and understand more of of how fast officers have to think in these type situations. And they would understand a whole lot better. So, you know, we know that that's not possible for it to happen, but we're just fortunate that we're able to have fine facilities like that. The Sheriff's Department is not going to do anything halfway. It's a wonderful facility, hopefully we're going to be able to train there as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, every layer of it to me was, here's all the things you don't know and got wrong. Okay, now next, here's all the things you didn't know and got wrong and didn't think about. Okay, great. You know, it's a hard job. So it really is. I had much greater appreciation for the job and admiration and respect for the men and women who wear the badge. You guys had a couple of things take place in the city this week, including you had a girl who was missing and wound up being her mom got arrested. Is that right?
Yeah, she left Baptist Hospital on her own. She was 16 years old from East Tennessee, was on vacation down here with her father, and was gone for a couple days. And it turns out that she was headed to the Tampa St. Pete area to be with her biological mother, who lost custody of her several years ago. And her mother arranged made financial arrangements for her to be able to get to the St. Pete area. So she was charged with interfering in child custody.
All right. Very good. I mean, not good. And where's the girl now? Is she back with her dad, I hope?
She's back with family.
Okay.
Yeah, she's okay. It's, you know, good that we found her and that she's safe.
Also, it seems to have been a weird week for just not the norm of crimes. Like, we had this one story we're talking about with the sheriff on Tuesday. You know, cinder blocks getting thrown at people, chainsaws getting used to cut into people's houses or doors or whatever. You guys had a kind of an unusual one, an arson attempt on Jordan.
Yeah, we had it was a 200 block of West Jordan Street. A female was seen pouring lighter fluid on the side of a house and then lighting it on fire. She was last seen head southbound on Barcelona Street, so we're still working that. Fortunately, there were no injuries there, and the homeowner was notified that the structure was on fire and was able to get out. So the fire marshal is helping us with that incident. And also we had on Parker Drive, we had an individual shoot a raccoon out of a tree next to a city park, which you can't do. And that individual was being reckless and is going to be charged in that situation.
Okay, we'll get to the raccoon tree shooting in just a second. Let's back up to the attempted arson. Is a home that was abandoned? It was outside the house? It was inside the house? It was an occupied? What are we dealing with here?
Yeah, the fire was outside the house, and
okay.
the homeowner, which was inside, yeah, so it was outside, and like I said, the homeowner was notified and of the fire, and fire was put out, nobody was injured. So we're not sure what the individual decided to set the house on fire for. That's still under investigation, and hopefully we'll have more soon.
So that sounds like it could even be an attempted homicide, if depending on what the investigation shows.
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes you don't know why people do things, but then when you investigate it, you find out that they knew each other and it may have been intentional. Other times there are people that are you know, fighting, having mental health breakdowns that do things like that, such as the person that entered the back parking lot at the police department and set one of our cruisers on fire. So, yeah, you just never know until the investigation is complete.
Okay, now to the raccoon shooting. Okay, so somebody's near a park. And they see a raccoon in a tree, I guess on their property, and they decide that the solution for this is to shoot a gun up into the air at the raccoon. Do I have this right?
That's pretty much it. That investigation is ongoing as well. You can't do that. And so there's going to be some arrests made in that case, some warrants issued on that.
I'm assuming that it's a reckless endangerment charge, deadly missile, failure to contain a firearm discharge on your property, some combination of those?
It could be one or all of the above.
And again, you're in Florida, you're actually, you know, I don't know what the regulation is in the city. You have to tell me. But, you know, in Florida, you can shoot a gun as long as you contain it on your property and take reasonable safety that it's not going to hurt somebody. Shooting it up into the air into a tree, that's kind of violates all of that. But is that true in the city, too? Can you discharge a weapon in the city on your property?
You can. Now, look, you've got to be able to articulate what you're doing. You can't just go out there and start firing your weapon in the city, target practice type situation. If you're defending your home, defending yourself, you know, maybe even defending an animal, your dog or something like that. So each of these situations are different, and we have to look at the totality of the circumstances before we decide to charge anybody with something like that.
Very good. And that's what I was curious about is, you know, that, you know, the state has laws about this and, you know, discharge of a firearm as long as in the county, you know, you can target shoot on your property basically in the county. I wasn't sure in the city what the rule was, but it sounds like you have to explain yourself if you're in the city. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth. You have one for me this week?
Yeah, so this one is about car crashes and people automatically saying when the weather is bad, you're going to have more crashes. That's true to some extent, but we also have a lot of those car crashes when it's a beautiful day such as today. So, and most of that is due to driver inattention. So if there's somebody listening to us right now that has a phone in their hand in their car as they're driving, please put that phone down. Hopefully you'll save your own life or somebody else's. But on these beautiful days, people are doing everything but paying attention to their driving because the weather is so pretty. So please don't on days like that think that it's just going to be a great day without crashes, because we have many of them on sunny days. And a lot of that is because of sometimes of sun glare. We have more people that are out and about. We have more teens on the road this time of year. Mm-hmm. That's why they talk about the 100 deadliest days for teens. And we also have more pedestrians and bicyclists out on days like this. So we just want everybody to go out and be careful. You can go to YouTube and other social media platforms and look at these cameras. A lot of people are starting to put onboard cameras in their vehicles, in their private vehicles, and I'm doing that myself with my private truck. I'm going to have a camera installed on that, and you can see these crashes happen, and a lot of them are, you're wondering, why did that car cross the lane into the oncoming lane for no reason, or just ran into that telephone pole for no reason? And most of the time it's either because of a health issue or driver inattention.
You know, it's an interesting note you make about how the nicer day you would think means safer driving, but it's because people are more likely to drive in because they feel safe, and also because they drive more carelessly because they're not scared. Being scared in the rain actually makes you drive a little bit more carefully because you're paying more attention. That's a fascinating observation. Can I tell you just before we get to traffic, Well, actually, let me get John Pickens in here, because I have one thing I want to mention to you. I'm sure you know about it, but I want to mention to you anyway. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. No accidents to let you know about. But if you're headed from Pace into Pensacola on Highway 90, both north and southbound, seeing some delays due to that construction. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for PPD. Mike, I'll tell you, the one bit of unsafe driving that I have seen more lately that I think is amazing is, and I've seen it on Burgess where it's two lanes, I've seen it on Creighton where it's five lanes, is people who will pull around and drive pass you through the middle turn lane. And my wife says she's seen this more too recently. Is that seems like something you wouldn't normally have experienced in the past, and it seems like the switch got flipped in the dumb people's minds in the last year, that suddenly that's the way they're going to solve feeling frustrated driving behind people.
Yeah, you see a lot of that. You know, those lanes were installed to keep people or to give people that are about to make a turn a place to go so traffic can keep moving. But Gulf Beach Highway is another example of that. But now you see people using those as on ramps and off ramps. I mean, you see them get into that and then get up to speed to merge over. You see them passing people because they're where they want to make a left turn is just four or five, six cars up. All of that is illegal. That's disregarding a traffic control device, improper use of a lane. There's all kinds of dangerous reasons why you don't need to do that. But you see it all the time with these roadways that have that center turn lane that goes the length of the roadway.
Yeah, no, again, like I said, we've seen it a lot lately, and it's just kind of, whenever it happens, I'm always like, what did you just do? Oh, my God, these savages. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time, keeping us safe and keeping us informed. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Don't shoot raccoons in the trees. 749 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home or both, because you often sell the one and buy the other, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty, they can help make that dream happen, and especially if you're buying for the first time. Like, it's overwhelming, the amount of things you have to do and consider and think about. And, you know, you have some questions that you want to ask, and she'll have good answers for those questions. And then you'll have things you don't even know you should ask, and she'll help you ask them and get good answers to those, too. And really pay attention and, you know, get your home sold right the first time quickly for a good price, or find the right home for you in your price range that you can make into that, you know, dream place to live. They sold 175 homes last year. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty did. And I'm just telling you, I wish I could go back in time and buy our first home with her because she's just fabulous. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
I'm Jennifer, and I'm an FPL customer.
Everyone's feeling the strain of having to pinch pennies. So I appreciate that at FPL, they are always teaching me how power works and how you can save money. You can actually go on and you can see, this is the little thing that might be going on in your house. I can actually have ownership and knowledge over my power bill.
Find more ways to save energy and money at FPL.com/ways to save.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So, we have a mystery that's been solved. I hate to say this, but a mystery that's like 40 years old because this album.
40 years old.
42 years old, Rio is. 42 mm-hmm. years old. How old do you feel now? Anyway, you know, the cover of this album is that Nagel picture of the woman with the, like, there's black hair and then there's like a red background. And if you remember, Nagel is the artist back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, it's been a mystery because nobody knew who she was, apparently. Huh. Well, Patrick Nagel fans publicly revealed Duran Duran's Rio May 1982 album cover image source was from Vogue Paris, February 1981. Let's see, the name was Angelo Tarlazzi, was the... was the model, is that right? I'm trying to put all the pieces together here because I've got several different websites open on this. But it's kind of funny because Nagel published the photos and then photoshopped it was actually a photo of her with glasses on,
mm-hmm.
and then had taken out the glasses in the actual photo, and then AI used it to reinsert like what it would look like if he'd have painted it with the glasses. So now we know after all of this time.
Wow.
Apparently, you know, so 42
years.
Rest easy.
I know now. My day is done.
You can rest easier now knowing. Sorry, the model was Marcy Hunt. There you go. That's what I was looking for. Marcy Hunt was the name of the model. Duran Duran's Rio. The problem, you didn't even know you were struggling with.
I know.
7:54 here on News. This is the kind of stuff we bring to you. This is the hard-hitting investigative journalism that we solve all of your life's problems. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
As many as 100 pro-Palestinian protesters have been barricaded in a building at California State University in Los Angeles late yesterday. Several employees were even trapped inside the student services building as protesters had blocked the entrances with makeshift barricades. Elon Musk and SpaceX have been hit with a sexual harassment lawsuit. 8 former employees filed that lawsuit this week, alleging they were illegally fired for raising concerns about discrimination and harassment against women at SpaceX. The employees claim they were fired after they helped write an open letter against what they perceived as unlawful conduct within the company, including the treatment of women and lewd banter. And NBA legend Jerry West is dead at 86. He was a standout player in the 60s and 70s for the Lakers and was, as you mentioned earlier, possibly the inspiration for their logo. His family says that he died peacefully at his home on Wednesday.
Okay, pardon my ignorance on this. I thought they changed their logo to be Kobe's image. Did that not happen? I thought Kobe's outline silhouette was changed after he died. No? This is how little I pay attention to the NBA. It's at a distance, so okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I
watched the game last night,
but
I watched it on Fast Forward this morning. But, you know, I can describe the game last night. It's a good game. Celtics won. David, thanks so much for the update. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Pensacola Christian Academy, now enrolling 4 and 5-year-olds for kindergarten. Register now. Enroll PCA.com, the area's premier kindergarten learning program. No accidents to let you know about right now. Everything is flowing smoothly. Seeing a minor backup if you're right now on Davis and Johnson Avenue, seeing some delays right there in front of the hospital. So just know in all directions, it's kind of crazy there. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. I'm John Pickens.
Thanks so much, John. So one of the things you may not know about this show is we podcast the full episode, so you can listen to all 4 hours of the show if you want to on the newsradio923.com on the podcast page. Or you can, if you just download the app, News Radio Pensacola, you can always listen straight from your phone on all the podcasts, all the interviews, and all the full-hour segments you can listen. Earlier this morning in the 5 o'clock hour, this is why I mentioned that, I talked extensively about the JoJo Finley Drive problems. Okay, I'll just put it that way. Controversy and development. And then, you know, earlier this hour, we talked about Motley Court, which, you know, if you don't live in those areas, you may not know what their issues are. But I bring this up because these are things I'm paying attention to that somebody ought to be paying attention to, that if it's only ever those neighborhoods fighting for their rights, then you never really get the overall sense that there's a big problem in our county that needs to be solved and, you know, hasn't been for a long time. And we have elections coming, right? So that's why I'm talking about these. And I also want to let you know that if there's an issue, I mean, if it's in our community, I'm going to pay attention to it as much as I possibly can. But we got a lot of follow-up texts on that segment wanted to share with you. Somebody here says, D.R. Horton home builders, just for one, are so powerful and they have such deep pockets they can't be contested. Hundreds of lawsuits against them, but it gets tied up in court for long periods of time until citizens just kind of, you know, give up and they get their way. They're alleging, I don't know enough about the legal aspects of what D.R. Horton does, but I can certainly imagine that there's some truth to that. They need to clarify what or not they are adding when a new road with this planned housing to have a new entrance and exit so our neighborhood doesn't get backed up even more. This is the Motley Court, folks. Somebody says, let's see, you have to fight this before it gets to the county commissioners. It happens at the planning board first. That's, you know, and I've heard that from other people as well. And it, you know, might be that people are confused about what they can allow as evidence, you know, it, but it seems like people keep not getting the outcomes they want. And if that's true, then maybe we need to look at revising this process. Another note here, outside developers and investors are the ones trying to garner support for the incorporation of Perdido. That's a response to an earlier text that said that it's frustration with the Board of County Commissioners that's leading to the incorporation of Perdido. Somebody else just says, thank you for discussing the growth and planning issues and bringing up JoJo Finley and our neighbors. Much of the problem stems from our poor land development code, land use plan, and zoning. Large chunks of the county should not be zoned the way they are, high-density multi-use. It appears that a half donkeyed plan was thrown together to meet the state deadline, and it was never fixed really much after that. And somebody else just says, that's it. So, and look, I know that some topics don't really translate well for radio. It's helpful to see a map. It's helpful to, you know, right? I get that. And so I just still feel like if nobody else is really going to talk about these things and focus on them, And the only people who know this stuff happens or these problems happen are the people in their individual communities. And then the people who happen to be watching the Board of County Commissioner meetings, which is not many people. How does everybody realize that these are problems that everybody else is having too? And get to the point where we start to make demands that maybe changes happen that make these problems less burdensome for all of us.